Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. We glorify you and we magnify you, God. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to conclude chapter 3, and we're going to expound verses 19 through 22. 19 through 22. And so let us prepare our screen right up here. Praise God. And here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Angels and Authorities Are Subject to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Once again, angels and authorities are subject to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So let's read the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to have His way this evening. Praise God. Here we go. 1 Peter chapter 3, 19 through 22, and it reads, By whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight souls, were saved through water. Praise God, praise God. And look at this. There is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, praise God. And then now, let's look at this in verse 22. Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. This is where I got this evening's message. Angels and authorities are subject to Jesus. So let's break this down and let's go back to verse 19 and 20. And then it reads, By whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering, look at this, waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. In a few days, that is eight souls, were saved through water. Praise God. Praise God. Did you catch that, saints? Eight souls were saved through water. You see, my friends, the word soul forms a break and also in thought here and refers back in the spirit. In our previous verse, the meaning of preached to the spirits in prison is not completely clear. Mainly why? Because the word translated spirits, called nimuta, can be used to refer to human spirits, angels, or demons. And so the singular word is also used to refer to God's Holy Spirit. Praise God. You see, my friends, the passage further indicates that these spirits in prison are those who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat. This is why it's mentioned here. And only eight people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. So, my friends, this passage has been tackled by many scholars over the years and given a variety of what? Many types of interpretations. But three main questions arise, my friends. Number one, who were the spirits to whom Christ made his proclamation? Who were they? Because this is what it says. Let's go back to the word here. By whom he went and preached to the spirits in prison. You see that? Did you catch that? Number two, when did Christ make this proclamation? When did he make it? And number three, what was the content of this proclamation? You see, my friends, following are the main interpretation of Peter's words. Praise God. And let's give an explanation to hopefully help us understand this. Number one, some, not all, but some explain that between Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, he went to the realm of the dead, to hell or Hades. There, he preached to the spirits in prison, meaning either all the people who lived before him who had died and gone to hell, wow, or the fallen angels who had sinned by marrying human women before the flood, a view highly dependent on this type of literature. The content of Christ's proclamation may have been to offer the sinful, very sinful people a second chance at salvation. This is most likely, and many refer unlikely, because nowhere in Scripture does God offer a second chance. Wow, I want you to take heed to that. Or to tell the sinful people or the fallen angels that their condemnation was final and eternal. Still, my friends, others say that Christ was preaching to all those who had repented before they died in the flood. We will never know until we see Jesus face to face. You see, my friends, they had been in prison awaiting their release by Christ into heaven. And they say that Christ, between his death and resurrection, announced salvation to God's faithful followers who had been waiting for their salvation during the Old Testament era. Here's another thought. Secondly, during Noah's building of the ark, 120 years, Christ's spirit was in Noah, preaching to all the unbelieving people. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11 refers to the spirit of Christ residing in the Old Testament prophets. Oh, yes. Let's look at this for a moment right up here. Look at this. In 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12, look what it reads here. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would what? Follow. Look at this. Verse 12. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. These things which angels desire to look into. Wow. Did you catch that, my friends? You see, saints, this view takes Christ's reference to Noah, literally holds that the spirits were humans rather than angels or demons. Christ spoke through Noah to the people for 120 years as Noah was building the ark. Praise God. Let's look at one of the scriptures that I found regarding this in Genesis 6 and 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Wow. That was the average lifespan after the flood. Praise God. Praise God. Saints, during that time, God was waiting patiently for any to repent of their sins, but none did. And these unbelievers on earth were the spirits in prison who were imprisoned by their sin, or they were souls of the evil human race. That's right, the evil human race of that day that are now in prison. Wow, that's pretty serious, isn't it? Oh, it is. You see, Hades, which is called hell, they died long ago in the flood, awaiting God's final judgment at the end of the era. That's going to be the white throne judgment, praise God, where God is going to raise up all those who died without Christ and stand before him. It's called the white throne judgment. You see, my friends, those who consider this to be the correct meaning of Peter's words consider that Noah and his family were what? A righteous minority among a huge majority of evil people. It was very evil back then. This is why God had to destroy the world back then. Now, just as Noah faced unjust persecution. So Peter's readers were also facing unjust persecution as well. And just as Noah had no converts, they might not either. We don't know that. And just as Noah knew that judgment would come soon, so Peter's readers, which we are reading today, right now, before your ears, knew that God would soon judge the world. And my friends, ultimately, as Noah and his family were saved from the flood waters, so those who will believe will be saved from eternal death. And here's a third possibility. Between Christ's death and resurrection, or after Christ's ascension, he preached the triumph of the resurrection to the fallen angels. It is likely that Christ was simply making the announcement of his finished work on the cross. Praise God. How many are so blessed that Jesus finished it? He said, "It is finished," at the cross. And by doing so, saints of God, declaring his total victory, praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, the prison was an abyss near heaven, a kind of storage place for the evil angels. Wow. And his declaration confirmed the testimonies of Enoch and of Noah. By doing this, it confirmed, saints of God, the condemnation of those who had refused to believe. And now, my friends, while assuring the salvation of Noah and all the believers, the spirits and the fallen angels typified those who instigated gross immorality in the days of Noah. Wow, wow, wow. Oh, that's right. Look at what it says. I found this in Genesis 6, 1 and 2. Look at this. "Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose." Wow. These were angels which became fallen angels. Wow, wow. You see, my friends, many scholars favor this view. Why? Because in the book of Jude, it links the angels that sinned with the judgment of the flood, as in the days of Noah. Oh, that's right. Look what it says. I found it right here in Jude. Look at this. In Jude verses 5 and 6. "But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains." Under what? "Under darkness for the judgment of the great day." Wow. Wow, my friends. See, saints, according to these verses and 2 Peter, we also find that these angels of God were cast into hell, literally Tartarus, a place of confinement prior to their judgment. Oh, yes. Tartarus, therefore, is the prison mentioned here. Sometime after Christ was resurrected, saints of God, he made a proclamation to these fallen angels. Oh, that's right. And we can find this in 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at this. I found it right here. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 3. "For if it did not..." Look at this. "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but save Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly." Wow, wow. Saints, what that's saying is, if God didn't spare those angels, what about us? What about us, our generation, those who rejected Jesus Christ, those who are living in sin, and those who won't repent? Well, guess what? If he did it to these fallen angels who he created in heaven, he will do it also to the humans who are lesser than the angels. Oh, my friends, Therefore, my friends, therefore, to answer the three key questions noted above, the fallen angels were the spirits. The time of the proclamation is not known for certain, but either it was between Jesus' death and resurrection or the time of his ascension. The content of Christ's message was to proclaim his victory to the fallen angels. Wow. My friends, this passage shows that Christ's glorious reign extends over all the evil authorities and fallen angels that had wreaked havoc on the earth in Noah's day and were still doing so in Peter's time. And my friends, it's still happening today. It hasn't changed in 2,000 years, has it? Oh no, I believe there's more wickedness now than there was in the days of Noah. Jesus said that it would be like the days of Lot and Noah. Lot's day was very immoral, very sexually immoral, very wicked, abominations. And Noah's day was very violent, very gruesome, many murderers, many abominations things. You see, Peter offered his readers a vision. While the forces of evil could not yet be completely silenced, in fact, they actually continued to work against believers. You see, the believers could rest assured that Christ had already won the battle. How many believe that? How many believe that Jesus has already won the battle? So stay in the fight. We've already won. If you read Revelations, God won. We win. So hang in there. Persecution will come. Famine will come. War will come. Oh, that's right. Families will disintegrate. Families will come and go. But my friends, I'm here to let you know, do not throw in the towel. Stay in the fight. Jesus is about to return. And he's looking for those who are looking for him. He's looking for those that their mind is made up. They're heaven bound and a hell to shun. God is looking for those that will love him with all their heart, soul, and mind. And love their neighbor as themselves. Oh, that's right. God is looking for those who have sold out for him. How many of you can honestly say, I'm sold out for Christ? Praise God. So let's move on to the next verse in 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 21. Look at it. There is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Through what? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, my friends? Aren't you so blessed? Praise God. Praise God. You see, speaking of the water and the flood led Peter to explain that Noah being saved from drowning is a picture of baptism. And when dealing with symbols in the Bible, we must always ask, what is being symbolized? Can I get an amen? It was neither the ark nor the water that saved Noah, but the power of God conveyed in a promise. You see, my friends, the Greek word for picture refers to a person, event, object, or act that anticipates or foreshadows a more perfect fulfillment of the essential idea, my friends. So the floodwaters convey some meaning and point toward baptism. Praise God. The flood came as a judgment upon evil people. But for Noah, it was deliverance from their mockery. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all their sin, ushering him into a new life. Praise God. How many so blessed? How many so blessed that God has saved you and I? We repented. We were baptized. We were washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. You see, my friends, in baptism, believers identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, who separates us from the lost and gives you and I new life. Praise God. You see, my friends, baptism is a sign of the new covenant. Praise God. Identifying the person baptized with the people of God throughout the Christian community. It is not the ceremony, the water, nor the removal of dirt from the body, referring not to physical cleansing, but a spiritual cleansing that saves us. Praise God. You see, my friends, the water of baptism does not wash away sin, literally. Instead, baptism is the outward symbol of the inner transformation that happens in the hearts of those who believe. Oh, that's right. I need you to see the sequence here in our one of our pillar scriptures of our church. In Acts 2, 38 through 39, look at the prerequisite. Repent. So what does repent mean? Turning from your sin, having a consciousness that we have sinned, we have fallen short of the glory of God. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Before you can be baptized, something inside has taken place. You come into the saving knowledge. You come into the place that we need God, that we have sinned before a holy God. So repentance is turning from the world and turning to God. Turning from our sin, confessing our sin, acknowledging our sins, that's what repent means. And look at this. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That means forgiveness. And you shall. Didn't say you might. Didn't say maybe. But you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as what? The Lord God will call. Praise God. Praise God. Look what Romans 6, 3 and 5 says. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, say that with me at home. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should what? Walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Praise God. Look what I found in Galatians. Look at this. For as many of you were baptized in Christ have what? Put on Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Look, I found one more. Look at this in Colossians 2:12. Buried with him. Say that with me at home. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Man, I am so blessed that many of us were baptized in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, something took place first, and that was repentance. You see, many churches are not teaching repentance anymore. Oh, just come and invite Jesus into your heart. And people do that. But they go home and nothing has changed. You see, God will supernaturally transform your mind and change your heart, but you have to repent first. There's no other way. That's why it's repent. Then baptism follows. Why? Because something glorious has taken place. You've acknowledged that he's calling you now. You've acknowledged that he chose you. We've been elected and chosen before the foundation of the world. So God quickens us. He allows us to turn to him. Oh, come on. Some of you got saved. I don't know. I got saved when I was the age of 30. But prior to that, I would step in nobody's church. I used to mock Christians. I was like Paul. He was Saul of Tarsus before he became Paul the Apostle. And I was no different than him, mocking and ridiculing Christians. But then God did something that no one can do on this earth. He flipped my heart. He touched me. He caused me to see the cross. And he gave me a mind to be saved. He gave me a heart to repent. And once I repented and confessed that I was sinful and a sinner and that I needed Christ as my Savior, That's when he applies the blood that washes away your sin. Hallelujah. And then he fills you with his spirit. So all that is done through a spirit of repentance. Then we get baptized acknowledging, hallelujah, that we are his. Hallelujah. And he is ours forevermore. You see, saints, baptism does not save anyone, but the belief it represents results in salvation. Its efficacy comes from the power of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Baptism is also an appeal to God from a clean conscience. The Holy Spirit convicts the person's mind and the heart of sin, calling for a response or a pledge of faith. This pledge is confirmed outwardly and tangibly in baptism. This pledge toward God implies that baptism conveys believers' desire to please God. And therefore, my friends, asking God for help to live out the reality that the inner transformation in their daily lives through repentance, as I mentioned, and forgiveness. Praise God, praise God. Are you catching this? Praise God. So now, let's move on. We're going to move on to verse 22. And we're going to break this last verse down. And we're going to conclude chapter 3. And it says, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made what? Subject to him. Praise God. This is where I got the message. Praise God. You see, saints, Peter now entered into an exaltation of Christ and his victory over all opposition, whether attacks of Satan or the cruel treatment of the government. It doesn't matter. Peter himself had been an eyewitness. He saw Jesus' ascension. Praise God. And Jesus had gone basically to heaven. A place beyond the clouds, praise God, beyond our human sight. There, Jesus is seated in the place of honor next to God. And Christ has royal power and dignity as a result of his resurrection. Praise God, praise God. Look what I found here in Matthew. Look at this. In Matthew 22:44, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So Jesus right now is ruling and reigning from heaven, but he will come down soon and very soon. Look what it says in Mark 12:36. For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Till what? Till I make your enemies your footstool. Wow. Wow, praise God. Look what I found in Acts. In Acts 2, 34 through 35. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Wow, wow. Praise God, praise God. And I also found this in the book of Romans. Look at this. In Romans 8, 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Praise God. Listen, what's your fear? We should not fear this life as a believer. Why? Because Jesus is in heaven praying for you and I. For what? To succeed. To continue. And he also rebukes evil that would come our way. Yes, does he allow things to happen? Yes. Sometimes we need to be tested. We need to know where we're at in Christ. But let me just say this. If God is for us, who could be against us? Greater is he that lives in us than he that's in the world. God has put a hedge of protection, no differently than he has done for Job. Around you and I, saints of God. Yes, our body might be failing. Yes, maybe our finance has dwindled down. Yes, maybe our relationships are not the best right now. Yes, there are kids, some kids and grandkids are in drugs. Yet we see things. We see a geopolitical divide in our nation. We see wars and rumors of wars. We've seen armies that are mounting up. We see all these things taking place. But I'm here to let you know, my friends, that if God be for us, who could be against us? Praise God. God will give us perfect peace in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of trouble. You have to believe that God, hallelujah, hallelujah, saved us for such a time as this. And so, my friends, thus the angels and the authorities and powers are bowing before Him. And in this context, these words refer to all spiritual beings in the universe, both good and evil, praise God. Everything in earth and also in heaven is already subject to Christ. One day in the future, my friends, when He comes to judge, His power and authority will be made known to everyone, to everyone. How many believe that Jesus is coming soon? And very soon. Oh, yes, He is. My friends, you may be logged in right now. Maybe for the first or second time. I don't know. But God's calling you. God has a plan. And for us that are saved, you need to have the confidence knowing that God has the ultimate plan still ahead of us. Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. He wants to use us in these last and evil days. Oh, yes, He does. Yes, He does. He wants to use you and I, my friends. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, I'm here to let you know that if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, here's a great opportunity. That's right. A great opportunity to do so. You see, the Amazing Grace family that has logged in, I'm going to ask them to pray with me, to pray for you, that you'd give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been witnessed to as a child. Maybe you've been witnessed to during school as a youth. Maybe even as a young adult. Maybe some of you are in your latter years now, and you've been shrugging it off like a fly that tries to land on your ear. I'm here to let you know that God is long-suffering. He's patient. His desire is that none should perish, but that would all come into repentance. But we all know that's not going to happen. Many people will die in their sin and go to hell. That's a fact. But then those who repent, those who cry out to God, those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, those who are washed in the blood, baptized in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, you become heaven bound and now a hell to shun. Where are you right now? That's a good question, because we're seeing our nation collapsed right before us. We're seeing all the abominations. We're seeing all the things that God calls evil. And now our culture, the world, everything that God says that's holy and good, they think it's evil. And what they think is good is evil according to the Word of God. What position are you in? Are you on the Lord's side or are you on the other side? I'm going to ask you to bow your heart and your head to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and watch Him do the miraculous in your life. Bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to You that I have sinned. I realize that I'm a sinner. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me, and the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. He is worthy to be praised. Listen, look, down below is our banner. That's our website. Log on. Our email and phone number is on there. Contact us. Reach out to us. Why? We want to pray with you. We want to lead you to a good Bible teaching church that will preach and teach the unadulterated Word of God. And we want to give you a Bible if you never received a Bible. That's right. We want to do that for you. And also, a great big shout out to all those who continually support our ministry. Because you can see down below, donations are deeply appreciated. I don't know if you can hear a siren in the background right now, but that lets me know there is an urgency. An urgency. Yes, I hear it right now. It's loud and clear. It's coming through these walls. But I believe that's a siren. It's a reminder that Jesus is coming soon. So prepare your hearts, my friends. Be ready for his return to take us home. And so, my friends, I can't wait for next Sunday, this coming Sunday at 10 a.m., we're going to have a wonderful guest musician, Melvin Patterson. He played the saxophone during our Christmas celebration, our Christmas service. He's going to be with us, and he's going to be with Leah and Andre and Angel. It's going to be a power-packed worship service, and then God will have a word for us, and then it's going to be, once again, our healing rooms at 1 o'clock. And the saints of God have prepared, they've always prayed, and they're ready to receive those who would come and inquire of the Lord. And so, my friends, I'm going to leave you this benediction, and it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and myself, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for tuning in this evening. We concluded chapter 3, looking forward to starting chapter 4 of 1 Peter next week. And I'm looking forward to seeing you all Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And so, be blessed. We love you. God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We gave you the